I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, guys. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm super excited to have my next guest here. We have Mike Weber, who is the co-founder and CEO of Fruitero. And today I'm going to be chatting with Mike, who... story began, I guess, in some ways, from a trip to India. Is this right? So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And you know, his passion for tropical fruit ice cream kind of happened by accident, which is the story of, I think, all great entrepreneurs. He wasn't planning on starting this, but when he stumbled upon this idea, he really thought that it was needed in the U.S. so he would be able to probably eat it and share it with other people. So he now owns and operates this tropical ice cream company called Fruitero. It's distributed in over 3,000 stores. It's growing very quickly. Super high quality fruits with from various tropical countries, or at least that's where the fruits originated, and they are just super, super tasty, eclectic flavors, and I'm super excited to have you on, Mike, so thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
So let's start. You didn't plan on being an entrepreneur, it sounds like. So let's talk about kind of the early days before founding Fruitero. What did you do?
Yeah.
What were you up to?
So I grew up in Connecticut. My whole family lives there. And then I went to school at University of Maryland. I studied biology and I studied finance. And right after school, I went into consulting. I was there for 4 years. I worked, just so happened to work for one of the largest ice cream companies. But I really wanted to have a more startup experience. So I left that. I went to work for a tech company in the beer industry. That company ended up getting acquired by Anheuser-Busch. And I worked very closely with the founders there and was just amazed by their journey and that founder experience. And I wanted to have that journey for myself. So after that, I went back to school. I did my MBA at Wharton. And on the first day of class, I met the guy that would become my co-founder, Vedant Sabu. We were actually assigned to sit next to each other on the first day of class.
That's wild. And did you know right away? Like, I mean, what were some of the early conversations that you had with him that you just thought, like, he was like your other half for business? I mean, what was it that you just, I mean, did you enjoy him? You thought that he sort of, you know, brought in something different into your life that you didn't have?
So when I came to went back to school, I wanted to start my own business. And in our early conversations, I was telling Vedant all the time, hey, when I get out of here, I want to employ myself. And after about a month of talking about that, he said, look, Mike, you've been talking about this for a month. I want to do the same thing. Let's get going. Let's do something together. So we started brainstorming different ideas. We ended up having about 82 different ideas, all sorts of things, not only food and beverage, all different things. But what was interesting was actually one of our early conversations was about our experience in tropical regions. And Vedant and I, we are from totally opposite sides of the earth. He grew up in India. I grew up in Connecticut. But we both have these strong connections to the tropics. For him, growing up in India, his grandfather had a mango farm. So when he has mangoes, he's brought back to those experiences. Mm-hmm. And for me, my family, we go on vacation to Hawaii and Mexico, and we enjoyed guavas in Hawaii and passion fruits and Mexico. That's how I associate those fruits. And we recognized that, you know, we're not alone in this. You have 85 million people in the U.S. who have some cultural connection to the tropics, whether it's India or Latin America and Southeast Asia, right? Have this connection to the fruits. And you have pre-COVID, tens of millions of people like me who have traveled to tropical regions, have tried the fruits and really have those strong memories of the fruits. And Frutero is all about reconnecting people to those tropical experiences through all natural foods with delicious fruits.
Talk about, you know, you went to India. Were you looking for an idea for ice cream? I mean, obviously you had, that was when you were working at an ice cream company or?
So this is, I was at school and this is when Vedant and I were kind of brainstorming different ideas. And one of the first things that he said here was, you know, in India, we have all these amazing fruits and we have this one particular chain of ice cream stores that's all these tropical flavors. And I can't believe that people in the U.S. don't have it. So in January of 2020, I was going on a trip to India and he recommended I try the ice cream and I was there. So actually, first day, land in Mumbai, go to the hotel, grab a few friends, and we go straight to this ice cream place. And we tried the ice cream and it was absolutely delicious. And there were some fruits I knew coconut, I knew mango, but a lot of fruits that I didn't know at the time. I definitely did not know what a guanabana was or a soursop, but it was so delicious. And we came back to the U.S. and we were looking for just that fruit ice cream. Of course, you must have it here in the U.S. And we went to Whole Foods, we went to Acme, went all over, couldn't find it anywhere. And that's when we initially thought, you know, there could be an opportunity here to bring this to U.S. consumers, initially thinking maybe this would just be a niche product. We know the Indian community likes it, but then very quickly realized that, you know, it's a product that everyone really, really likes. I mean, these fruits, you know, passion fruit and mango are just really, really delicious. And they're delicious in their natural state, but it's so hard to get a delicious mango or just delicious passion fruit in the U.S. fresh. So we bring that same flavor to our customers.
That's awesome. So you get out of business school. Did you actually start it in business school? I mean, were you guys writing the business plan?
Or? Oh, there was no business plan.
No, you were like, let's just wing it. Let's get it co-packed and just go for it.
So I'll say initially, we really did not think that this would be the idea that would take us to the promised land, right? It was in between our first and second year. It was March, so we had the summer vacation and coming up, and we said, look, we need to do something here. Let's just get this ice cream idea started. And at least we'll learn something over the summer. So we actually sold our first, at the time, it was a half pint of ice cream on May 21st. May 26th, I got married. And then that first summer of 2019, we were just seeing, where did this product work? Mm-hmm. So we sold up and down the streets in Philadelphia. We sold to convenience stores. We sold to taco restaurants. We sold to the university. We sold to grocery stores, just testing where could we get traction with a product. And by the end of that summer, we found the grocery channel, and particularly the natural grocery channel, is really where we had the best traction. And that's where we started to double down on in late 2019. And then in 2020 is where we kind of had our first big break, getting into Whole Foods through their local program, just in 12 stores around Philadelphia.
That's wild. And what was the hardest thing that you didn't anticipate sort of getting in? I mean, you know, it's interesting as you're sharing that story and having come from working for a large ice cream company, I always think about my dad when I was launching Hint and he had started a brand called Healthy Choice. And so I went to him and I said, how do I get into Safeway? Like, you were in Safeway. I mean, how can, and you know, Conagra owned Healthy Choice. So they had it all worked out. Like he had to negotiate internally. And I'm sure the ice cream was the same way for the space, but to actually go in and get a meeting with a buyer and talk to a buyer and also talk to a buyer about how you're launching something that is really different and they should make space for you. I mean, I can just only imagine. And maybe that's slightly easier in Whole Foods. I think the competition in every category has gotten greater.
Yeah.
But was it really surprising? Because you had never really done anything like this.
So it was very difficult.
Yeah.
And there were no overnight successes or overnight surprises that came out. It was really just grinding. And to your point, Whole Foods was one of the easier ones to get a foot in the door. Mm-hmm. So in 2020, we got a foot in the door at Whole Foods with 12 stores. And we also got onto GoPuff instant delivery platform just by sending a cold email to the CEOs, which
That's
was
amazing.
Nice. But in 2020, you know, we felt great that over the summer, we had those 12 Whole Foods stores. We were really doing well. The business was growing. And then in September and Q4 of that year is when we said, okay, we're going to take this data and we're going to pitch to grocery stores all over. And we pitched to grocery stores all over the East Coast. And fortunately, we got meetings with everyone. And you know what? We got rejected by everybody.
Wow.
Like, literally, Vidal and I were saying to each other, you know, we've had so many meetings. We're definitely, I mean, you get one come through, we're going to be in good shape. Nothing came through that year. So we said, look, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? This is a channel. And we said, look, we really have to just work with what we had, which is we were in Whole Foods in that local program, which kind of gave us a license to hunt and expand in more stores. And then fortunately, we got approved at a mass market retailer called ShopRite in the region, which has a bit over 300 stores. And that was the same thing where it was like a license to hunt. We weren't placed on the shelf. We didn't have our space, but we were able to go to the stores and pitch to the managers. And that's exactly what we did. So at that time, we had graduated. Vedant was living in California. He flew to the East Coast, and he was just living out of his car for about 2 months, going to different ShopRite stores and pitching just to get on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, there are some slower selling items, so we would just buy them. We would just buy everything out on the shelf so we'd get our space and we'd get the store to place an order. And then I was really focused on the marketing. We had a really robust digital marketing strategy driving people into the store asking for, man, I want that guanabana. I haven't had guanabana since I was in, you know, the Dominican Republic or on my vacation in Colombia. And we ended up doing very well in those stores, and then used that as a proof point in the region to then this past year pitch to other grocery stores. And it was much easier than to say to Stop and Shop, hey, you know, right across the street from you at ShopRite, look how well we're doing over there, right? So then this year we went from just about 450 stores to, over the last 2 months, 3,000 stores. And I think it was really, a lot of learning, but definitely, you know, knowing what the customer wants, right? Which for us is the grocery store. And they want to know, hey, can they make more money with your product than the next product they can put there? And we had to prove that to them. And definitely the type of ice cream that we're making is much different than anything else in the ice cream category. So we had to make them believe that this is something that would actually work for them. I think we did a good job proving that last year. And lastly, I think, you know, we just had a hustle. I think at the beginning, you know, you got to get out there as a founder. Right? You're not going to have a hero. No one's going to be your hero. You have to do it yourself. And early on, it's not about a scalable solution for these things. It's just about muscling it out and just getting the job done.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think it's interesting. I was on the phone with an entrepreneur the other day and shared a little bit about how, you know, you can definitely get into stores, right? And you can get your product in if it tastes good, right? No matter, I mean, it's not easy, but it's possible. But the real key is staying in, because they want to see that things are selling. So your ability to actually grab data, everything that you're talking about, and sort of show people, maybe even against all odds, that things worked. Like if you've got a flavor that they've never heard of, for example, and it's killing it, right, on the shelf, like that's where they can, you know, start to paint their own picture of whether or not it would do well in their store. But you know, you're still up against huge competition. You're always fighting for space. And you know, frankly, Hint, almost 17 years later, is still fighting for space. I mean, people are like, yeah, you're much bigger. But it's still a fight. And anything can happen along the way. I mean, as you know, in the ice cream industry, I mean, somebody new comes up, it's almost like you're a competitive advantage, right? Or you've got a competitive advantage, but you actually have to prove yourself. And I think that the closer you can stay to the consumer and really understand what's going on versus actually outsourcing it, I think that you've got a few years before you can really outsource it. That's another thing that I share with entrepreneurs. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think the way that we've built for Terra is really outsource the things that are more on the commodity side where there's not value being added, right? Warehousing, the actual manufacturing for us, right? But what's critical for us is the sales and marketing.
Yeah.
And by marketing, it's who is our customer? Why are they buying Futuro? And the interesting learning for us has been our customers are not just the ice cream shopper who's buying Ben & Jerry's one day. You know, they want that super chocolate, chunky fudge, and the next day buying Futuro. People who love Futuro, they love fruits, right? So the challenge for us is actually getting customers, getting consumers from that fruit section, from the produce section, and letting them know, hey, Futuro exists, right? We know you enjoy buying mangoes, fresh mangoes. Well, you'll also love buying Futuro. Mm-hmm. And thinking about how are we going to target those customers so they know about us has been critical for us.
Between running multiple businesses, including recording the Kara Golden Show, I know how hard it can be to keep it all together. And when it comes to administrative tasks like running payroll, you want to do it as quickly and efficiently as possible. Luckily, this episode's sponsor, Gusto, helps you handle payroll in just a few clicks. In fact, 3 out of 4 customers say it takes 10 minutes or less to run payroll with Gusto. Time saved to record another interview or start another business. Gusto helps with the harder stuff too, like filing taxes, compliance, international contractor payments, and more. They also offer a wide range of health and financial benefits so that you can have all of the info you need to make the right decisions for you and your team. In today's busy world, making your life easier is the name of the game. With Gusto, everything you need to pay, manage, hire, and support your great team is in one place. And just for our listeners, Gusto's offering 3 free months at gusto.com/Kara. That's gusto.com/Kara. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur makes their first sale on Shopify. That's over 3,000 sales every day. One of those sales could be you. Shopify is more than an online store. It is a subscription-based software that allows you to sell your product, reach your consumers, and drive sales, all from one place. Shopify also gives you detailed reports of your conversion rates, profit margins, and traffic to your page. You can then generate traffic by using Shopify's integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and everything in between. Plus, Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. Shopify has everything you need to scale your business, whether you're a brand new startup or a seasoned entrepreneur. I personally love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to around the globe. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success with Shopify. Go to shopify.com/Kara, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/Kara right now. That's shopify.com/Kara. Today's episode is sponsored by Such a Voice. Have you ever thought about how your voice sets the stage for how you are perceived? Okay, so you may not be looking to be a voiceover actor, but maybe, just maybe, there are a few techniques that you wouldn't mind learning. No matter what you do for a living, your voice is the thing people are making decisions about from the moment you say something. That's why paying attention to what I'm about to talk about is key. Such a Voice. That's our terrific sponsor of this segment. Such a Voice provides professional voiceover training for anyone. The great people at Such a Voice will take you through professional voice technique and even coach you through preparing, recording, and producing your own voiceover demo too. But why would you need this training? Well, that's a very good question. Whether you are thinking of interviewing on a podcast or recording your audiobook or giving that keynote at next year's company offsite, those techniques you will learn will teach you what real-world voice actors already know and help you be your very best. Visit suchavoice.com/Kara Golden, that's G-O-L-D-I-N, and receive a complimentary copy of Such a Voice's Must Knows of Voiceover. You will get expert tips from people who know how to have impact. Check out suchavoice.com/Kara Golden today to learn from the experts. This was another question I got from an entrepreneur the other day. How do you figure out pricing? It used to be where, I don't know, maybe you figured out your cost of your goods and then you said, okay, double it and that will be, but you know, you've got to sell it into, as you get bigger, you're going to have to sell it into a distributor. In many cases, you're not just delivering directly. So you've got to be careful about that because you don't want to have some huge increase that on the shelf. But how did you think about that? And I think that that's where maybe going to business school, maybe having experience in a big company kind of helps you to sort of think about that stuff. But what advice would you give to entrepreneurs when they're trying to look at pricing?
So look, I think whether it's looking at pricing or for us was looking at where to actually sell.
Yeah.
What we looked at was where is the most volume moving mm-hmm. in grocery, in ice cream, right? And I spoke initially early on that we were looking at all different channels initially where to sell. We were looking at restaurants, convenience, grocery, and we realized, look, most of the volume is moving through grocery. So, okay, that's the channel that we're initially going to focus on, grocery. And I think it was kind of similar with pricing. We look at what are the brands in the category that are really moving a lot of volume. And it was the brands like Ben & Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs, and we kind of look at their price point. And then we look at what else is in there. We see there's a lot of brands that are higher up, mm-hmm. $6, $7 pints. We said, you know what? A lot of those brands just don't grow a lot. They're just mm-hmm. priced out of the market. Yeah. They'll work in LA. They'll work in New York, right? But they don't work in the rest of the country. And we really wanted to build a company and have products that anybody can buy, right? So when we thought about pricing, we said, look, we want to have a price that's a slight premium to Ben & Jerry's because certainly we're paying for it. You know, we work directly with partners in Colombia with those farmers and processors there to get the fresh fruit. So we're really investing in it. But we want to get that product to a shelf that works for, you know, a regular American consumer, mm-hmm. and we don't want to price them out. So really, we just say wherever we are, we want to be a slight premium to Ben & Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs. But of course, you do get the complications of when you go through a distributor, you're really stuck with a lot of the pricing there.
Yeah, definitely. You talked about digital marketing, and I feel like digital marketing has grown, has changed in many ways over the last 2 years, especially as people were trying to get access to different types of food and stores were closed. How did your world change during, the last couple of years with COVID?
Yeah, so we were a COVID baby, right? Mm-hmm. We were born in COVID. So a lot of those classical marketing techniques or strategies, we couldn't do, right? Mm-hmm. We couldn't get into stores and do a lot of sampling. And for Frutera, we always say tasting is believing. When people try our ice cream, they repeat buy. Like our repeat purchase rate is very good. So we had to be a bit more creative. And what really worked for us was on the digital marketing side. We had that insight that our customers love groups. So that's what we targeted. So on Facebook and on Instagram, we target folks that have an interest in fruit. At the same time, what was so interesting during COVID was there was this huge rise of e-commerce or e-grocery, right, mm-hmm. with Instacart. So what we do on there is for a customer looking for pineapple or avocado or strawberry, they'll always see an ad for Frutera come up. And what was so interesting about that was those keywords for us were super cheap, right? Because avocado, there's one brand of avocado in the store. So it's very, no one wants that.
Interesting. Keyword.
So we were able to bid on that very quickly, get right in front of those consumers. And the other thing was kind of using social media to build brand advocates. Mm-hmm. When people, like, just how can we make people like promote that fanatic love of Frutera? And when people try Frutera, particularly if they have some cultural connection to Frutera, you know, if they grew up in India enjoying mangoes with their families, they really want to talk about that experience. So we engage our customers to get them to talk even more with their friends, with their families about, wow, I just found this mango and, you know, it tastes just like, the mango that we had on our vacation. You have to try it. And we get people all the time who say, you know, I tried the guanabana, and then I picked up 8 pints. I brought it to my office so everyone there could try it because I knew the people in my office, they'd never tried guanabana, and I wanted to share it with them.
That's awesome. So, and obviously tough in the frozen space to do this. You know, I think there's many people who wouldn't do what you've done because of the frozen space. They're like, oh my God, what a nightmare, right? What would you say? Do you believe it's gotten easier that the process of actually doing frozen is, you know, has gotten slightly easier? There's people who will handle that from, you know, pick and pack. And
so it's kind of all I know.
Yeah.
So far. But I think we're very fortunate here in the U.S. that there's a very robust infrastructure mm-hmm. for the frozen supply chain, right? When there's frozen warehouses all over the country, and there's, capacity is a little tougher these days on trucks. But really to get, you know, we want to send a truckload to California, we send a few emails. We have very, very good partners at Frutero. And really over the last year, a big priority for me has been getting those right partners in place, right? So, you know, our partners, our farming partners down in Colombia, we really have developed a very strong relationship with them. Same thing with our warehousing partners and co-packers and our logistics partners. You know, they trust us, we trust them. And I think it's really about building that strong relationship.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Such a great way to think about it, for sure. So, and then, you know, obviously your direct to consumer business, as you've grown that, I mean, you're also building your own list. And do you feel like, I don't think direct to consumer is going away anytime soon. I think that people are looking for new flavors constantly. And I was looking on your site too. Do you feel like that's a big push for your site, is to kind of test flavors as well?
So I see D2C as where we test innovation.
Uh-huh.
It's exactly that. You know, from a business perspective, from a margin perspective, I'd rather do grocery business all day long than D2C, right? Especially when it's frozen. Unfortunately, most of what the customer is paying for is FedEx, dry ice, and an insulated box.
Yeah.
Right. The cost of goods are very, very limited there. So we see using grocery as that's where we're going to put the main products, right? The fast selling products. And then for our, you know, super fans, we want to have new products available, new fruits available from our website. So for example, we're in one chain, Food Lion down in North Carolina, it's 1100 stores. And we decided not to put our guanabana there. But we get so many messages through our website, through our social media, of people saying, I went to Food Lion and I was looking everywhere for the guanabana. I can't find it, right? I think that's a flavor that, you know, it probably wouldn't work very well at Food Lion, but it's so important for us to have it available to those customers from our website. And the other thing is, you know, as we're growing our distribution, there's a lot of areas in the country that can't get Frutero right now, right? On the East Coast, we're everywhere. Stop and Shop, ShopRite, Whole Foods, Acme, Safeway, Food Lion. But the, you know, folks over there, they try Frutero and they say, you know, I have a cousin in Chicago that would love Frutero, but we don't have any stores right now in Chicago. So D2C is a great way for those customers to send Frutero to their loved ones. At the same time, I think we have really invested in our relationships with a lot of the instant delivery companies.
I was going to ask that on the GoPuffs and some of the others.
Exactly. I mean, GoPuff has been amazing. So pretty much you get on the app, you can order Frutero, and in literally 15 minutes, you can get Frutero delivered to your door. And you know, my wife and I, we just had a baby this past weekend. So while we were in the hospital, the nurses were just amazing there. So I was ordering Frutero for everyone. And thankfully down in Florida, in South Florida, we have Frutero on GoPuff. So just boom, boom, click, click, and we get it delivered in 15 minutes. I think with ice cream, it's an impulse buy,
totally.
Right? People want it now. So for the same price that you can get a pint of Frutero in the store, you can get it delivered to your home in 15 minutes. So GoPuff, I mean, I can't say enough about them. We just love that. And that relationship is super important for us.
That's awesome. Those guys are great. I want to get him, the CEO, on here because it's a phenomenal story. Absolutely. Very, very cool. So Mike, share a story about like a challenge or failure that you've had along the way in building this business. As you and I were talking about, I think that entrepreneurism has been over-glamorized at times for people just getting in. And we all know the stories of entrepreneurs in every industry are, you know, it can be challenging and frankly lonely sometimes too, as you're going through these things that you might not tell your closest friends about, you know, here's what happened at ShopRite, right? And, you know, it's just, it's a weird story that people wouldn't even believe half the time. As my husband and I have said over the last 17 years of building this business, building Hint, it's, we would have probably made more money just like running the video camera on some of the stuff that went on, you know, that we think back on. And I mean, it's just between co-packers and some of those meetings and meetings with, grocery buyers and, you know, things when we were on, you know, on top of everything. And then all of a sudden we weren't. I mean, it's just, it's so many stories. So share one that you have.
Yes. And just on your point of the ups and downs and the loneliness, I think what I'm so fortunate about is my partner, Vedant. I definitely could not have, we could not do this without each other. Because I think when you have two partners, right, you have two people, well, you're going to get those highs and lows, right, in the business. And it's, I think it's so important to have two people, because look, there's some times when I've been super down, especially early on in the business, you know, where I'm super down, but you have your partner that, you know, brings that positivity to you. And then you'll have times when it's the reverse situation. Especially early on when we knew nothing about making ice cream, and it just looked so like it was such a long journey to when can we even get a product to the shelf? But in terms of the biggest, the big failures we had or big mistakes we had, it was really early on. It took us a while to figure out the right product, place, price, and promotion, right? Just the four P's of marketing. And I think the biggest mistake that we made was actually taking too long to apply some of the things that we were seeing and make changes for. Mm-hmm. Very specifically, is when we launched Frutero, we saw that our path to building a brand would be through food service. We had this idea early on that we would be the Jarritos of ice cream. We saw that, you know, at every Mexican restaurant, you have Jarritos. We thought Frutero would be that dessert of choice there. So initially we came out with this half pint of ice cream, this 8-ounce cup of ice cream, and we sold on our bicycles all over Philadelphia. We also sold into, at the same time doing that, into grocery stores. And we started realizing in that first summer that, you know, restaurants were not where we were gonna build the business. It was gonna be in grocery. Mm-hmm. And early on, we started getting feedback that the half pint, that smaller size, is not going to work in grocery. But at that time, we had $5,000 worth of packaging. And we said, how the heck are we gonna change now? We have $5,000 invested in this packaging. We can't just throw it out. So we doubled down. We continued growing with this half pint. Then we had an issue with our co-packer where we pretty much got kicked out. We had to make a big change, and we had another opportunity. We had to change the configuration of the packaging. And we said we could go to a pint now, or we could just stick with the 8-ounce. And there again, we said, you know, we're in so many stores already. It was maybe only 40 stores. Yeah. And we said, it's just too late. We have to just stick with the half pint. Well, eventually that half pint really became an issue, and the margins on that were not good. And we also had a lot of operational issues. So that smaller container just got lost on the shelf. The buyers were ordering not enough, so we'd sell out a lot. And ultimately we just came clear, we have to make the change now, and you have to just rip off that Band-Aid and switch the pack size. And it was not an easy thing to do. But now looking back, I mean, thank God that we made that change. So I think just the learning, if I were to do this again for other folks, is, you know, when you start seeing those issues early on in the business, number one, they're only going to get bigger. So learn very quickly and make that change very quickly. And also those things that you see as impossible to do, oh, it's impossible to make this change early on. Once you grow, it only becomes harder to make that change. We had a similar issue. We bought barcodes just off the internet early on, and we realized, oh, you can't just do that.
Yeah,
but we had to make that change, and that was tough. But, you know, especially in the early days, just make the corrections as fast as you possibly can. And also make sure you're getting customer feedback as much as you can.
Yeah, definitely. No, those are great, great insights. So I think for everybody, we all have those moments when we're like, oh, why did we do that? That was so stupid. But I think the key is to learn from them, autocorrect as fast as possible, and go out and try some other things. So that is great stuff. And Frutero is terrific. So Mike mentioned many of the stores that it's available, but it's also available online. What's the best place for people to reach out? Can you share your website?
Oh, yeah. So our website is fruteroicecream.com, F-R-U-T-E-R-O icecream.com. People could also just email me. I'm Mike@fruteroicecream.com.
Perfect. And on social platforms, you guys are all set up there as well?
Yes, just @fruteroicecream, F-R-U-T-E-R-O.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to The Kara Golden Show and hear great stories like Mike's and Frutero's. And we would really appreciate it if you would give this 5 stars, because the algorithm really is pushed by getting great ratings. And this was an awesome episode with lots of little gems in there. So appreciate that. And find me on all social platforms at Kara Golden. And be sure to pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, that shares our journey of building Hint. And we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and I believe we're adding another day as well. So really, really terrific that you all are staying with us and listening. And thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet @KaraGolden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn @Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.